Welcome into the Pursuit of Manliness podcast, where we are vigorously equipping men to pursue biblical manliness. My name is Jarrett Samuels. I'm the host of the podcast, and I want to welcome you to our Friday Out in the Garage episode. Now, if you are a YouTube subscriber, you're saying, where's the video? There is no video today. This is an audio-only podcast. I want to thank you for stopping by and taking some time and listening to this show. On Fridays, I've been walking through the book of Genesis. We're going to end the book of Genesis today, and then we'll begin going through the book of Exodus. And this is not like a deep study by any stretch of the imagination. Essentially, I've taken a chapter or portion of Scripture, read parts of it, talked about it, gave some application, hopefully, and then just kind of build from there. We're talking about how do we apply this to our lives. For me, that was a game changer to begin to look at Scripture and see myself within the text, within what was happening as I was reading through and looking at the storyline and thinking about context. And then really, hit me, this is you. This is you. There are parts of this that are directly connected to things that you're going on in your own life. And I think if you're honest with yourself and you look at Scripture, you can say, yep, that's me. That's me. Before I get into this, before we wrap up Genesis today, I want to remind you, we have some Christmas gear boxes available. Several months ago, I reached out to Randy Levere of Armor Nation Coffee. He's been a sponsor of the podcast for probably about 2.5 years. I reached out to Doug Cole, who is now a new sponsor of the podcast. He's with Dark Water Wood, makes all kinds of things. So those two guys, I said, hey, I'd like to put out a unique, special, whatever you want to call it, Christmas gear box. Would you be willing to make coffee, Randy? Would you make beard oil, Doug? And that I can get from you guys, and I can put in there, and then we can give something that's very unique to the guys who are part of the Pursuit of Manliness, who are engaged in this stuff. And so they willingly did it. I appreciate it. I know they had to put in some extra time just to give me this stuff by a certain date, and the first batches of those boxes went out like crazy. I still have some, so I keep saying that. I've been talking about that all week. I put it in the newsletter. I'll still talk about it probably till we get really close to Christmas. And the goal is, when you buy one, or you buy anything for that matter, I try to get it out as soon as possible. But with these gear boxes, because I know they could be for you, but they might be for someone else. And I know there have been, I don't know if it's yours, but I know there have been wives who have purchased these that I'm putting them in the mail the very next day. So I schedule pickups from the USPS, United States Postal Service, and I have them come get it. And that way I schedule it the next day, make sure they come get it, and we get them out as quickly as possible. The last thing I want you to do is sit there and be, scanning a tracking number or trying to figure out, man, when's he going to ship this? So the goal is to get it out, essentially as soon as possible. So I will say this too, because I've had people ask, I can't split the boxes up. Again, reaching out to Randy and Doug, and they've been very kind. You get coffee in every box. You get the St. Nick beard oil. You get a Quiet Life stocking cap, the PVC patch, and some sticker stuff. So, hey, can you split it up? I can't, because I ordered from them. I have, a count of how much I've ordered or whatever. I would say this, because I know there's one guy, I won't add him on here, but I'm pretty sure he said when he got the box, his wife took everything but the beard oil or something to that effect. So if you can't buy them, obviously, and you guys know this, and you could split up, hey, I'll give this to my nephew or whoever, if you want, it's totally your call. And again, I'll promote that as long as I have them, or until we get really close to Christmas, where I know they probably would not arrive by that point. And then once they're done, they'll be done. So you guys have asked about gear, and are you going to get more of this, that, or the other, possibly after the first of the year. I'll get into more of that, down the road. So we're in Genesis 49. That's where I want to start at today. Going to look at Jacob blessing his kids. Well, sort of. This is the end of his life. And we're really good at saying heartfelt things at the end of things. Like if you're going to move away, all of a sudden people tell you how much they liked you. Like, why did you not tell me that? Or if you're getting ready to graduate, the teachers say all these wonderful things about you. They didn't say it when you're a sophomore, but they say it, as you're getting ready to graduate. Or I've seen this in ministry as we've left. People say all these wonderful things, give you cards, notes, whatever. And you're thinking, well, how come, so we're just not good at the in between. We're good in the beginning. We love new things and we're sad about old things, but the in between, we're not always good at. We kind of get busy. We kind of get caught up in our own stuff. So here Jacob is fixing on leaving the planet, and he's going to bless his kids, right? It kind of reminds me of when Jacob and Esau, when he was back and he was a, He was stealing his brother's blessing. Basically, his father, Isaac's getting ready to die. Go get me some wild game. Make me some food. I want to eat it. I'm going to give you a blessing. He took it. He took the blessing. And now here, he's got these sons, and he's going to dole out blessings to them. And there's a lot of moving pieces to this. And I'm not going to like camp out in all the moving pieces. It's just way too much. But there's a few things I want to highlight, and then I want to give you what I hope is a major takeaway. So we're looking at here, and he's getting ready to, he calls his sons together, and maybe they're all in the same room. Maybe they're all lined up. I don't know. He starts off with Reuben, and he's like, my firstborn, and you slept with my maidservant on my couch. I don't know if anybody else knew this or not, but clearly Reuben and Jacob never reconciled this. Never reconciled this. I don't know if at the end of your life is the best time to go, by the way, no, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. So Reuben, you're out. And then he goes on to Simeon and Levi. He's like, basically, you guys are weapons of violence. You used your swords and you caused all kinds of violence. So I got to say, if the first three guys get a big swing and the miss, boy, I got to tell you what, if you're in that line, you're thinking, I don't want any part of this. And let's be honest, Jacob is terrible at hiding his favoritism. He's terrible at it. So, you know, Joseph, he ain't concerned. Benjamin's not concerned. The rest of the brothers are like, this is not going well. He gets to Judah. This is where it begins to change. He says, Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Your hands shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons shall bow down before you. It reminds me of like Joseph many years earlier. Judah is a lion's cub. I keep saying club. Cub. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion, as a lioness, who dare rouse him. The scepter shall not depart Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes to him, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. Well, I got to tell you what, Judah's going to walk out of that room a little bit different. Certainly a lot different than the other brothers so far. I find this quite interesting because, remember, Judah's the one that I have said, hey, good on you. He stood up, drew the line in the sand, said, if this fails, you can blame me forever. Give me the boy. And Jacob said, you got it. We'll do that. Judah's also the one that had the whole thing with Tamar. Genesis 38, she is his daughter-in-law. His first two sons die after being married to her. He's got a third son. He said, absolutely not. One night, he gets bored, sleeps with a prostitute. It's her. It's a terrible story. Genesis 38, it's like right in the middle of all this, and you think, what is the point of all this? I don't know if Jacob and Judah ever reconciled that. I don't know what kind of conversation that. I don't know. I don't know if Jacob now looks at Judah different because he modeled leadership for the family. I don't know. Or if it's just divine providence that God says, that's the one. This is a messianic prophecy here. This is that Jesus comes from the line of Judah. This is a big deal. It's not random. It's not that he was exhausted from browbeating the first three and said, well, you know, I'm getting a bad rap here. I should probably say something nice about this one. No, this is very, very divine, very intentional. And I think that's important. And I won't go through the rest of them. You can if you want. And you can look at the 12 tribes of Israel and you can see what he says here and you can see how he gives this declaration on their life. And you can see if there's correlations between the tribe and what he says. You can check that out. But I don't want to miss this. There's something very special when a man specifically will speak truth to and over someone. Let me give you an example that happened within the hour. It's amazing how God works. Within the hour, my son struggles with reading comprehension. I mean, really struggles. And I understand his struggle because I struggle with reading comprehension. I can read the same thing 4 or 5 times and walk away. It's as if I had never read it. So to get his grade up, his teacher has been very gracious to him. He's in fourth grade to do a reading comprehension marathon. I don't know what this is. She's very kind, very nice. And so he's got this major project that he's got to work through, and he has to come up with main points. He's got to come up with, he's got to write them out. Then he's got to type them out, whatever. It is a daunting project. And my wife has worked with him tirelessly. I spent some time the other night with him working through some stuff. He wanted to get to like our school's basketball game, so he had an incentive to get going. And we worked, and we got done working. He thanked me for helping him. Like it was just really almost innocent and grateful. And so tonight, I said, I want you to know, I'm really proud of you, of how hard you've been working at this. And he really thanked me again for that. Like I think I'll remember some of those moments. You know how you just remember random? I think I'll remember some of those moments into my, you know, late years, if God allows me to have late years, okay? And so later on, he comes walking in the room. I'm doing some work, and he starts talking about, again, zero times in his 9 years on this planet has he ever wanted to talk about homework with me or his mother at all, just like, let's talk more about it. So he begins to talk more about it. And it's because he's walking a little bit different, because his dad just said, I'm proud of you on that. And I told him why and what and stuff. And he says, I really like coming up with stories. I love coming up with ideas and then trying to, you know, come up with points and things. Like, he really enjoyed the writing aspect. I do too. Like, I get that. I used to write blogs. I'm a terrible writer, but I love the idea. I write sermons all the time. I do these podcasts. I don't even make notes. I have no notes right now as I'm talking to you. And some of you say, yeah, I can tell. And others are like, I had no idea. No notes. But if I had to read it and memorize it, no chance. And he says, I really like coming up with stories. And he kind of gives me this, and I've never heard him say that. And I said, you know what? I wonder if someday you might become a writer. Maybe you'll write books. And you, like, he's never considered being a writer. He's going to, in his mind, he's a professional soccer player. Why would I write? And I want to keep talking to him about that, not to force him into doing that, but here's why. What kind of content could he come up with for kids who struggle with reading comprehension, as a kid who struggles with reading comprehension, who has a dad who struggles with reading comprehension? You know, what if he's the one that could come up with something that a kid would say, that guy's books makes sense to me? I don't know. But if I didn't listen to what he was saying, if I didn't really hear him, what he was trying to communicate to me and the why behind it, I'm not saying my word to him, you ought to become a writer, is going to change the course of his life. What I'm saying is we need to be more intentional with what we're speaking into people's lives and not just give them lip service, which I can be incredibly guilty of. In this moment, Jacob is blessing his children. He's speaking things that are very deliberate to them. This is lost in our culture. This is lost in our culture that someone prays like a blessing or something very intentional over people. And so we kind of meander, hoping that we got their approval or maybe they'll be proud of us. Listen, I know there's a lot of men who are wanting their father or grandfather or mother or grandmother to say, I am proud of you. You've done a good job in life. You are a good provider. You love your spouse well. I'm so thankful that you have good kids. You have healthy kids. I'm so thankful that you serve or that you're a Christian. Or you're chasing an affirmation that you're never going to get. Sometimes it's because they're too prideful to ever admit it. They're too bitter to soften their heart enough to say these things. Or they're dead. They're not here. And so there's no way you're ever going to get it. And you long for it, and you chase it, and you want it, and it eats you up, and you can't even necessarily define why it bothers you so much. And as much as you want to dismiss it, and as much as you want to pretend like it doesn't bother you, it does. And it shows up, and it pops up in the weirdest random times, and you think, why? Because we long for that. We have a God who has created us to hear words of, when he's creating things, he says, it is good. He's giving his stamp of approval on the things that he is creating. He created us in his image. So it's very good. We get to know a God, serve a God, worship a God who affirms us with words, and we stink at it in return. We're bad at praying. We're bad at worship. I shouldn't say we're bad, but we struggle most of the time. We're bad at words of affirmation. We're just not good at it. I'm not very good at it. That's not an excuse. I have to figure it out. So as I wind down this, I want to leave you with this. And maybe this is something you'll consider. A number of years ago, I started doing this with my wife and kids. On Christmas Day, I give them an envelope. Each one gets an envelope. Inside the envelope is a handwritten note. It's handwritten specifically for that person. So I have a son, two daughters, and a wife. It's written for that person. I write something that I see in them. I write something that I'm praying for them. I see your creativity. I see how you serve your siblings. I see how you love your friends. I see how, you know, the Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 91, verse, you know, whatever. And then it's not like pages. It's one page, one side, handwritten, not even the whole page. Okay. I don't know how many sentences I'm going to say. 10, 7, 5. I'm bad at math. I just write some, okay? I write some to the point that I believe this is intentional and this is very personal. And so I write their name on it, and I don't think it's a grand surprise anymore that, you know, after we do all the presents and then we do stockings or whatever we do, you know, and stuff, I go, all right, I got, you know, here we go. And I pull out my thing, and they're like, oh, no. And I give it to them, and that's it. And what happens is, I will say this, I put money in it too. That's never a bad incentive, okay? So they all get money. The wife gets more. That's how that works. So it's never a downside to get money. But I do that as like an extra gift, right? So, but what I've seen is they all go off by themselves and they read it. Now, I'm not good with words. I'm not good with hugs. I'm not good with affection. I'm just not. I could tell you all the reasons why. I'm just not. So if I had to sit in front of them and say these words, I may just make a mess of it. I don't know. But I can write it down. And I can try to write it so they can read it, because I always have the best handwriting. And they always go off by themselves and they read this. And then I come to find out later on and they keep them all. I don't know if all of them do. I'm pretty sure they all do. They all keep them and they put them together. I'm not going to be here forever. Maybe someday they'll pull those out and say, you know, when I was 9, when I was 10, when I was 14, when I was 17, whatever, this is what my dad wrote me or whatever. I don't know. Will I do it forever? Hopefully. I have grandkids. Will I do it? I mean, that'd be great. But as special as that is for me, and I think for them on Christmas Day, I have to do it the rest of the year. It has to be the way I live. I don't want to get to a deathbed, because nobody's guaranteed to do that. And then all of a sudden tell everybody what, you know, I just want you to know that you know. No, I want to speak things to people and over people. And when I mean over them, I mean like it landing on them. Honey, I see this in you. I see this in you. I don't know if you see it. I don't know if you'll understand it right now, but I see this in you. I see our God doing this in you, or I see this behavior. I need to get better at that. Do you need to get better at that? Man, I do. Because when I get it, when I do it, oh man, I'm so thankful I did it. Just like tonight. I didn't expect to have that little exchange between myself and my 9-year-old son. It just happened. I didn't expect him to come in and talk about what he enjoys doing. I've never heard him say he enjoys writing any of those things. But he did. Here's why this is important. When you get to the rest of Genesis, we got brothers suddenly saying, no, dad said, and da-da, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, still lying, still cheating. If we are not intentional with what we're speaking to and over people, we could potentially leave behind a wake of chaos, where it's just utter chaos behind us, where people are still trying to fight for approval, when they're still lying about your legacy or what you said or what you did. Listen, let's make it abundantly clear. Let's keep a journal and let's write down scriptures. Let's write letters to the people that matter the most to us. Let's speak words to them. Let's do things that are encouraging to them. Let's be men that say, you know what? I'm not going to leave it to chance. I'm not going to leave it to chance and wonder if they know I feel this way or if they know I care about them. No, I'm going to make sure they know. I think right now we're looking at this podcast going on Friday, December 9th. You got 16 days. Sit down right now and get out a piece of paper. I just grab a blank piece of paper and I just start writing. Put it in an envelope, give it to them. If you're crafty, if you're handy, if you're, you know, you got fancy pens, fancy papers, great. Use that if you want to. I don't. I just use a blank sheet of paper. I take it from the church, put it in an envelope, put a little money in there, and give it to them. Write their name on it. You want to go fancy? You want to get bets? That's great. I think that's a great thing if you want to do that. But just do it. Just be intentional. Speak truth to them. Speak truth over them. And what you're doing is you're building a blessing. You're building them up through the Word of God, through your walk with Him. And I believe it will go with them as long as they are on this planet. Amen. So guys, I appreciate you listening to this. I appreciate all the feedback, the emails, the shows where you share the shows, all this. I appreciate that. But beyond all that, what I'd really appreciate is if you go bless your family. Just go bless them, amen? I'll talk to you in a bit.